Are you looking for a better way to play player props or daily fantasy sports? Well, look no further than Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the leading over-under daily fantasy game. Why? Because it's so easy to use and win. You can make your picks in under 30 seconds and win up to 10 times your money in one day. Right now, we have a special offer for our viewers and listeners of Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All you got to do is sign up now and use the promo code BACKPACK. Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. They'll match your first deposit up to $100. So join the over 150,000 others who found a better way to play and download the Prize Picks app today. Hard to Tell podcast episode 213. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca here. Brian, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. You know, doing healing good. Up from this booster. You know what I'm saying? Just kicking my ass a little bit, but we hanging in there.
But you hanging in there, trying to feel good. We got a special guest today. We always talk a lot of combat sports on here when we can. We know Brian is a big combat sports guy, but I'm super excited because we got a guest from my neighborhood, East Flatbush. East Flatbush represent. We got boxer up in here. Chris Colbert joins us. Chris, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, brother? How y'all?
Oh, man, anytime. We're glad to have you here. Second time talking to you. I talked to you the other day on New York Post, SNY, as you're getting ready for a fight. 16-0, 6 knockouts. Chris Colbert hailing from East Flatbush, like I said. Fight this Saturday that is coming up. You are fighting against Luis Garcia. Talk to me. What's your mindset and preparation as you head into this fight? What are you thinking as you go into this fight, Chris?
I ain't even thinking about the fight right now. To be honest, my mind is focusing on this game, is weighing over it. But I feel strong. I feel good. Excuse me. I'm ready to get this over with and do what I do best, and that's dominate.
For people who haven't seen you, Chris, what's your style? What's your style when you step in the ring? What can people expect when they see you step in the ring?
Myself having a style, I just be me. I go
fun. You just have fun. Is having fun knocking people out? Is that part of the fun?
My whole life, I've been fighting my whole life, so this is just adding on to what I used to do.
All right, I feel you on that. Gotta feel you on that. Go ahead, Brian.
For sure, Chris. The first time I actually saw you fight in person, you were fighting Titus Williams. This was at Barclays Center in like 20. What was that?
I dismantled him.
Yeah, you did. It was in 2017. I remember you knocked him down. You beat him by decision. It was crazy. And before that, though, I had Coach Sosa was telling me, yo, watch out for this kid. Peter Quillen, I had talked to him. He was like, watch out for him because I saw you like training at Sweatbox once or something along those lines. And like, I'm wondering, like, where's the main part of your game that you feel like has gotten a lot better since? Just all around fighting.
Everything a part of my game. I get better every time, I feel like. Excuse me, y'all. This Vegas time is killing me, but every part of my game get better. I get better every time I try something. I try to show the world that I'm learning.
Yeah, no. We know that Vegas time is killing you because you have to travel out there to the jet lag it can definitely kill you.
And weight cuts aren't easy, Dex. I've told you that before.
No, weight cuts are not easy. We know that, Chris. We know that the next couple of days isn't easy. What about your opponent on Saturday? We'll get into the fact that this wasn't the fight that you thought you were going to have, but your opponent coming up on Saturday, I know you don't want to take anybody for granted. What do you know about him and what he can bring to the table in Luis Garcia?
To be honest, I don't know nothing about him. I don't do no homework. Okay. I believe there's no fighter in the world could go in there and do what they did to their last fighter and think it's going to work on me, but I'm the last fighter. So we got 12 rounds. I believe it only take me about one or two to adapt. Like I said, my middle name is Adapter. So I get shit done.
And you want to make the fighter adapt to you. The confidence I hear from you, bro, is more that
they got to adapt to what you do in the ring, and you don't think that he's ready for what you can bring. Is that correct?
They fight on my show. They got this. They just got to get with the flow. That's all it is. And come in and do what they do best. You lose.
You see that right there, Brian? That's that East Flatbush guy. That's that East Flatbush confidence, man. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing about that. go ahead, Bree. Go ahead, B.
Chris, how do you feel about the Pernell Whitaker and Floyd Mayweather comparisons? Like, they come around a lot, especially when you fight on Showtime.
Listen, but I don't want to be compared to nobody. I'm myself. I'm proud to. Excuse me. I'm nobody. I'm myself. I'm prime time, and I'm gonna continue to show that I'm me.
That's good confidence to have there. Now, Chris, you were supposed to get a title shot this Saturday. Your opponent came down with COVID. I'm sure that had to be pretty disappointing for you. How do you keep focus headed into this fight, knowing you had some disappointment? And have you thought about finally getting that title shot?
To be honest, I got no choice but to be focused. We still got a mission to complete. Thank God. Thank you to my opponent. Thank you to my Brad Owens, Sylvia Owens. They made sure I got in the replacement. So we just take the do what we do best and then dominate.
You gotta really be looking forward to that title shot though, right? Because you were so close to getting it. Have you allowed your mind to wander a little bit and think about what it would be like if you do finally get that title?
Oh, I'm focused. Nobody, I can't overlook this undefeated opponent out in front of me. I just got to do what I do best. Just going in.
Got to do what you got to do best. Yeah, definitely got to do that. Go ahead, Brian.
Chris, where do you feel like, because you got Roger Gutierrez, WBA champion right now. You got Oscar Valdez, WBC. Shakur Stevenson's got a title. Kenichi Ozawa's got a title. Where do you feel like you are in terms of pecking order amongst, you know, the champions at your weight right now?
I don't really give a fuck where they got me at. I know about myself, my son, my mother, my team, Deion Sanders himself, I'm good.
I love that confidence, man. I love that confidence. But speaking of that confidence, Chris, and we're both from the same neighborhood in East Flatbush. And when I spoke to you on SNY, you said to me, you didn't want to. Brooklyn boxers haven't always represented that great, that well, right? We've had Mike Tyson, we've had Zab Judah. Where do you see yourself in terms of representing Brooklyn and becoming a Brooklyn boxing great, taking it to places other guys weren't able to take it to?
To be honest, if you know me, you know that this confidence, this ain't no gimmick, this ain't no scam, this ain't no act. I was born like this that shit you can't teach. I guess in the word of Deion Sanders, a lot of people try to be that, trying to be that guy. Me, I was born that guy. I don't act like I'm somebody I'm not. So this is me. You're gonna get this every time.
There you go. You gotta like that energy, man. You definitely gotta like that energy when you step in the ring. I gotta ask you this, because you know, as a boxer, there's people that are always gonna try to say, "Oh, I haven't boxed, I can test skills. Chris doesn't have hand skills." And anybody tried to test the hand skills with you, and you had to let them know, like, nah, you don't do this.
I don't even really get into people who test it, because I don't get them the opportunity. I walk away before anything.
Yeah, that should tell them right there. If somebody's even gonna be like, "Yo, I'm gonna walk away," that should tell them right there. They should know. Yeah.
You mute me? Y'all mute me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You were cutting out a little bit there.
I'm saying, like, I don't really even think about it, because I tell them still, like, "Yo, don't you don't want to wake up in the hospital."
Right. You know what? The person doesn't want those problems. They don't want that at all whatsoever. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I know that Tracy Morgan had been shouting you out before when you were coming up. Before you were even like known as Primetime, you were still Lil B-Hop. And I was wondering, like, which celebrity that shouted you out was like the wildest one to you, where you were like, damn, like, this person's a fan of mine. That's crazy.
Deion
Sanders? Deion Sanders?
Deion's the one.
Now that he's on my team and he's, like, backing me, it's like, oh, my God.
What does it mean, Chris, to have his support? What does that mean to you, knowing he's on the team, he's got your support, got your back? What does that mean to you as a fighter?
And the same nickname.
It means a lot, to be honest. Like I said, that's my favorite athlete of all time. So it means a lot. Support me.
You said he's your favorite athlete of all time. Is that how you came up with the nickname Primetime? And was that the inspiration behind it?
Of course, you know, there ain't no other Primetime.
There you go. Well, you're going to be Primetime on Saturday night. I know you're going to want to show the people exactly what it is that you can do. Can you give us a prediction at all? How many rounds you think you're going to get this done in? I mean, is the confidence that high to say, I'm going to get this done? You told me all you need is 1 to 2 to fill them out. So how many rounds do you think you're going to get this done in?
My prediction is to win. If God bless me with anything better than that, I'm thankful, but my prediction is to overcome.
There we go. Well, Chris, man, we wish you all the success on Saturday night, all the growth. Keep representing, keep making East Flatbush proud. We love what you're doing out there, man, in the ring.
Appreciate you for having me on your show, man, and definitely I'm sure what I do best every time.
Yes, sir. We will connect again soon. That is Chris Colbert, 16-0, 6 knockouts. He's got a super featherweight title eliminator Saturday in Vegas on Showtime. Definitely check that out.
One time for your mom, one time. One time for your mom, one time.
One time for your mom. Got some interesting stuff this week, including Brian talking about what he always talks about. And I'll be talking about something kind of like what Brian always talks about. So we might have flipped the script on you this week. Brian, what you got this week for one time for your mom?
I don't think it's flipped because you weren't going to talk about what I'm about to talk about. I think not this is just really, a me heavy one time for your mind. You know,
you'll see, you'll see. Well, yes, you're probably right about that. Now I think about it. Yes, you're right. Go ahead.
As you know, we are in late February now, basically, and we are officially in WrestleMania season. Yes, WrestleMania season begins every time we get to January because the Royal Rumble is in late January. They had their first New Year's Day, rather, pay-per-view earlier this year called Day One. They used to have New Year's Resolution, the first of which was in Puerto Rico in 2015. Well, actually, no, 2005. It was a lot older than that. But, yeah, basically, there's a lot of stuff going on now that I feel like was noteworthy into bringing to attention here as we approach WrestleMania, which is in early April, so about 6-ish weeks away. Two major things. One, Cody Rhodes, who was an executive at AEW, who was one of the founders, who was somebody who engineered the whole thing with All Out and then the big independent show that was big independent show in Chicago 3 years ago where they sold out just off the strength of like the people. And then AEW was born as a result. One of the engineers of that whole process and one of the better wrestlers, in the world of the last several years is no longer in AEW. And there have been statements, decks. There have been a lot of different things, but this is one of those big sizable transactions that you could compare to some of the top players in football leaving their clubs, some of the top players in basketball opting for free agency, et cetera, et cetera. Like Cody Rhodes was somebody who was elite in All Elite Wrestling and then sort of fallen out of favor, I guess, with some people in the locker room, according to several reports. There have been a couple statements that were released. AEW thanked them, saying Cody and Brandi Rhodes, his wife, is also leaving. And his wife was an instrumental part of the organization as well. She was a chief brand officer. Cody and Brandi Rhodes from AEW were integral to the loss of All Elite Wrestling. So for those listening to the podcast, we just put the statement up here on the screen. This is courtesy of Tony Khan, who is the CEO, president, general manager, head of creative of All Elite Wrestling, and the son of Shad Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think Fulham, right, Dex? The football club in England? Yes. Cody's ability combined with the boldness and his passion for our industry and his love for community outreach, helped deliver AEW on our mission to give fans what they needed for far too long, something new, innovative, and lasting, et cetera, et cetera. He says he has immense respect and appreciation for both of them, wish them the best, and thank them. Cody Rhodes had a much longer statement that I'm not going to read, but, you know, there was a lot said there that you can go, you know, find that. I will just echo the first couple sentences. I have loved my time at AEW. Amazing locker room, amazing fans, amazing people. The quote-unquote revolution was indeed televised, and I've been incredibly lucky to be a part of that. And then he just thanked Tony Khan and a bunch of other people. So right now, they're playing, you know, sort of diplomatic about this. We'll see what ends up happening. I would advise people to follow Sean Ross Sapp. He's done some reporting around this. He's the best wrestling reporter that we have right now in terms of breaking news. Yes, he's better than Dave Meltzer. He is somebody who has been following along the story and said earlier that it's reportedly been eerily silent between Cody Rhodes and WWE. Logically, we expect that to be the next step and him potentially getting a big part of that WrestleMania card. He was in WWE for a long time, so we expect to see him back at some point. On the flip side, or rather on the same side or on a different side, whatever, Stone Cold Steve Austin is rumored to come back, Dex. This is something that's really interesting because...
I know you were excited about this. I know you're excited about this.
My childhood was Stone Cold Steve Austin, Felix Trinidad, and New York Mets, and the New York Jets. You know what I mean? It was heavily that. There were some other things there too, video games, et cetera, et cetera. But Stone Cold Steve Austin was a big
violent, heartbreaking childhood, but okay. Yes.
Definitely some violence and some breaking hearts. a lot of action figures too. Had a lot of Stone Cold Steve Austin action figures. Stone Cold reportedly bought a ring in like August. And until I saw that report, I thought this was bullshit, but it sounds like WWE's been trying to get him back, and Kevin Owens is continuing to slander the city of the state of Texas, which has reasons to do so beyond just a wrestling angle, but we can get to that another time. WrestleMania 38 is going to be in Dallas, Texas, so that's why Kevin Owens is doing that, and presumably Stone Cold Steve Austin will appear at some point in order to, you know, sort of, one, make a lot of money, make a fuck ton of money, and two, whoop Kevin Owens' ass. And a couple things on this. One, I think that if an older wrestler is going to come back, having somebody like Kevin Owens makes a lot of sense because he can talk and he can carry the angle until Stone Cold gets there, whether he doesn't want to show up to WrestleMania, where he's going to show up in the weeks before, whatever the case may be. I think that is good. Two, being in shape matters when you're an older wrestler coming back, in my opinion. And Stone Cold Steve Austin looks like he's maintained himself, has been in great shape. Broken Skull Sessions, you could see him. Like, this dude is in really good shape. All the shows he's done, he's been a massive success post-wrestling and some of the things he's done on TV, acting, podcasting, et cetera, et cetera. Like, his name hasn't really fallen enough, and it still holds that acclaim. Damian Lillard was dressed as Stone Cold going into a basketball game a couple years ago. You know what I mean? Wearing an Austin 316 shirt. Like, he still has that cachet, even amongst people, or especially amongst people of my generation. And if they're going to do a WrestleMania in Texas, which you know is going to be in Jerry World, and it's going to be two nights and 100,000 people per night, bringing Stone Cold Steve Austin back makes a lot of sense. And I will also add that Kevin Owens has been using the Stunner for a while. So, I mean, there's just a lot of low-hanging fruit. So
Stone Cold has to come back and take his move.
Yeah, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit there. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit there. But look, I on Cody Rhodes, it'll be exciting to see him back. The interesting thing about this, Dex, is like the real interesting thing is like if he's going to go back into WWE, WWE can't do the thing where it's like, all right, now we push you to the mid card because then all the other guys from AEW whose contracts are going to start expiring because AEW is now entering year two, year three, or a lot of people entering year two, year three, year deals, they're not going to want to go into WWE if Cody Rhodes is being underutilized. It's why Sting didn't go to WWE before when he did. Because he recalled the incident where Booker T showed up on Raw in 2001 after WWE bought WCW, and The Rock was like, who the hell are you? And it's like, Booker T, that's the WCW fucking champion. Like, that was mad disrespectful, but that's the thing that Vince McMahon has been, and WWE has been known to do, was they get guys from other companies, and then they kind of like just keep them at a certain level, generally speaking. That hasn't always been the case, but that's happened a lot throughout history. Mm. And then on the Stone Cold front, I mean, the WWE, kind of like the UFC, they kind of have a star problem. And I don't like saying that because I'm the person who doesn't care about stars. I think caring about stars is overrated. I think that a lot of what I've heard of people criticizing the dunk contest was just, oh, I want stars in the dunk contest, and that could be overblown. But in order to get a Dexter to watch WrestleMania, probably want some stars. And I feel like, I don't know if you're going to watch WrestleMania, but I feel like Stone Cold Steve Austin would bring you a little bit closer to doing so, to at least checking in to see on what he does than not. To that point,
maybe I'll watch. I still owe you and Dan Serafin. I was supposed to watch an event. I didn't get to watch the Royal Rumble.
You didn't miss much. Royal Rumble wasn't great. WrestleMania though, WrestleMania is WrestleMania. You know, it's one of those things that
we're gonna have to get a Dan Serafin on before WrestleMania, and maybe my guy Kurt Sember. Those dudes get hyped about the wrestling. I've seen it.
Both at the same time. Let's go.
I will be the person sitting in the corner just with my popcorn watching y'all be hyped about the wrestling. I will say this. I do think it's interesting with the Cody Rhodes stuff and how he will be utilized. I do think that stuff's interesting. I do also think Stone Cold coming back being interesting. Brian called me early this week and was trying to have me guess who this person was that was coming back. And I missed it. I mentioned all these other great wrestlers of the 90s. I kind of forgot about the late 90s, early 2000s. He makes a lot of sense. I think anybody who knows, even if you are not a big wrestling fan, you got to know Stone Cold. He was that transcendent. I don't even use that word for that many people. He was in the game, especially with him and The Rock had cooking up at that time. So him coming back, if he does, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
This was the biggest star, arguably in wrestling history, but the biggest star when wrestling was at its absolute height from 1998 through 2001 or whatever. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know where you compare that to in other sports, but like he's somebody who's synonymous with a lot of whatever you think the most elite of elite is. Yeah,
I think you people think of wrestling, they don't think of him and Hulk Hogan.
He's on Mount Rushmore.
He's on that Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely on Mount Rushmore. He's definitely on mine. So
yeah. All right. So we will see what happens. My one time for your mind this week actually involves two of Brian's loves: violence, shockingly, and video games combined in one. Street Fighter VI is coming. I'm excited.
Oh, so that's why Street Fighter games are on sale now at the PlayStation Store. I saw that. Street Fighter VI is coming.
If you don't know, I'm a Street Fighter fan. I've been playing Street Fighter since Street Fighter 2. I'm not going to act like I played the original Street Fighter, although I have gone back and played it, which was a side-scrolling game, not a traditional fighting game. But I pretty much played and owned every Street Fighter since then, particularly the last few that have been on, Street Fighter 4, which arguably could be called the greatest Street Fighter of all time. Street Fighter 5, which was pretty good. I just didn't get as much time with it. That coincided with the birth of my daughter, so I didn't really play it as much on The Last Generation. But I'm always hyped when there's a new fighting game now, Street Fighter VI. I'm a real fighting game player. I got the Hori stick up in the crib, B. We got the Hori stick going, the real fighting stick. No playing on controllers. We don't do that here. Real fighting stick. But I'm intrigued. Now, not much has come out on this. The trailer was released earlier this week, which showed Ryu, obviously one of the legendary characters of it, and a new character, Luke, I believe is the name. He was one of the last added playable characters to Street Fighter V on their last season pass, which I think came in the fall. So not much on it. It did also say more details will be coming this summer. So I do not expect the game early this year, I'll say. Possibly late this year, Christmas time. Probably, if you're being more realistic, early next year, I think it will be for this generation. You do get to see it, the trailer, for people who haven't seen it, a little bit of the engine. You can see more detail in the characters, which is always good. But look, Brian will probably feel me on this because Brian says this about a lot of games. I'm not the person saying that graphics does not matter, right? Brian, you and I have had this conversation.
Yeah.
Graphics matters and it all looks nice. But what it comes down to, especially for a fighting game like Street Fighter, which is all about creating and taking space away, the technical stuff is what matters. Does the game play well? Does it play smooth? Or the characters not cheap, or the characters you like playing with, fine. Any new elements they add into it, does it work within the fighting gameplay?
Most.
That's kind of what matters. I'm hyped, because I'm always hyped for a new Street Fighter, and usually there's a lot of time that comes between these 5-6 years. They don't usually just pump them out, which is a good thing. But I'll get really excited when I see some actual gameplay, you know, come out where I can see what it is. When I see that, then I'll be really, really excited. But Street Fighter VI is coming. Should be good. We'll see what they do with it. One of my gripes, which I think would probably, I know you're not a Street Fighter fan, Brian, but
I'm not a Street Fighter fan.
I just
didn't like play it like that. It wasn't a big part of my video game upbringing.
I
love watching people play it though.
Play it. I can see that. I can see that because for people of your generation, the arcade experience wasn't a big part of the upbringing. So I kind of could see that. It's this game probably connects with more people who like it was about going to the arcade and playing against somebody and getting your ass kicked or kicking their ass and that whole another thing. But one of the things that they kind of leaned into in the last Street Fighter was kind of the DLC part of it and adding that in terms of, and you and I've had talks, we have to have a longer conversation on the pod about that, but adding in like, oh, to get these characters. Well, the one thing I'll give them credit for in the game, there was multiple ways to get it. You could either pay for it or you could earn it through like battle points. So the more you fought and the more you fought people online. So there were two ways to do it. And I give Capcom a lot of credit for that. They didn't just make it pure DLC. So if you wanted to, you could earn it or you just pay for it and get the character. So I'm sure they'll do the same thing this time. Obviously, they have different costumes and stuff that they'll have people. People get into that. I ain't spending all my money on that. I'm fine with the regular costumes you give me for Ryu and I'll kick your ass and that'll be that. Like, we just keep with that. This is the most you've heard me talk about violence and video games probably on here. But I am excited for Street Fighter VI.
Here's the thing. Like, I had a similar segment. We were talking about Splinter Cell coming back. Yes. I mean, that's going to be a while. GTA, that's going to be a while. But we got some games coming back next month, as a matter of fact. WWE 2K22, going to the wrestling theme again, is coming out. And they actually listened to the fans who have been calling for this for a long time. GM mode is back. And that's going to be very interesting. And they also added they added some other stuff and there's actual gameplay. Like for me, it was all about, I was kind of like you with Street Fighter. I was like, I'll see it when the gameplay comes out. I won't try to get overly hyped. Because they skipped the year because the previous year, 2K20, was so fucking bad and got panned by everybody. So they came out and the gameplay and everything looks good and looks crisp. So, you know, especially if you have a PS5, I do not yet, really because I haven't tried to get one. But I will later on. So I'm going to make sure I get the cross-gen version so that I can just, you know,
easily upgrade. I did that with 2K and that was definitely a good move.
When I get a Switch, I'll make sure that Street Fighter VI will be part of that. Cause I haven't played Street Fighter in a minute because again, I've played it casually, but I was all right. Like for somebody who didn't play it much, I was all right. I ain't gonna lie. I might get that for the Switch.
Might have to bust your ass on these sticks. We'll see what happens. That's it for this episode of the Ain't Hard Tell Podcast, episode 213. Thank you for joining with us. Also, thanks to our guest, Chris Colbert, for coming on and rock with us. We appreciate you. Continue to support us on all the platforms. Subscribe to the Backpack Broadcasting channel. Subscribe to us on whatever streaming platform you're in. Leave a nice review. We appreciate that. Also, keep supporting us in all the ways that you do. For Brian Fonseca, I'm Dexter Herring. Until next time, y'all. Peace.